This is sex. Everyone gets what they want. This is sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com. We're going to be talking about childbirth on Sexploration with Monica. And maybe you're thinking there's nothing less sexy than childbirth. It's the most painful thing a woman can ever experience. You're going to be lying there screaming at him, "Why did you do this to me? I need an epidural!" But apparently childbirth can be not only not that bad, not only kind of pleasurable, but orgasmic. You can actually have an orgasm while you're giving birth. Seems like something we should know about. According to Amber Hartnell, in this story on ABC by Juju Chang, you could find it on YouTube by just typing in orgasmic birth, you can actually have an orgasm while you're having a baby. In fact, that's the work of Deborah Pascali Bonaro, who we'll interview in just a few moments. But according to Amber Hartnell, she actually had an orgasm while she was in labor.
All of a sudden, the orgasm just started rolling through, and it just kept coming, and my whole body was spiraling and rolling, and I was laughing and crying. And
you were actually purring.
I was purring. It felt amazing.
How do you compare that to a sexual orgasm?
Well, it's really not any different.
We're talking today with Deborah Pascali Bonaro. She's the director and producer of the film Orgasmic Birth. And the premise of this film is that childbirth can be not only less painful than the traditional hospital birth, but so pleasurable that a woman can actually have an orgasm during labor. Is that true, Deborah?
That's correct. And thanks, Monica. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
But it's to show that birth is a part of a woman's sexual life, but I would hope to go beyond that because I think birth holds many different opportunities for growth and transformation for both women, their partners, fathers, and babies. And so our film is really about exploring those possibilities by following the journey of, it's actually 7 couples that we get to know well, but there are 11 couples throughout the film where we can really see that birth can hold certainly pain, because I'm sure many people out there are going, oh, come on, you know, my birth was painful, but also going beyond, that there can be these moments of pleasure, of ecstasy, of bliss, and for some women, given the right conditions, it can be a very orgasmic, sensuous experience.
So that's really counter to what we've been told. We've been told that it's a painful experience, it's a medical experience, that it doesn't have anything to do with sex. In fact, many people feel like, oh, I must be feeling something bad if I'm feeling any physical sexual sensations.
Yes, and you know, it's so great to hear you talking like that, because what we're finding after screenings of the film and people that are even just logging onto our website is so many women coming forward saying, I never told anybody because I hadn't heard about it and I thought it was somewhat strange. And so that's why our subheading is Orgasmic Birth, the Best Kept Secret, because it's incredible the number of women that have some kind of experience throughout some time of their labor and birth that falls into this pleasurable category. But I think what people don't really understand is that when we moved birth from home into the hospital and really made it a medical event between about 1920 and 1940 in this country, our goal was never to really make birth as easy as possible. And so many of our practices today that just kind of became standard actually contribute to labor in many cases being longer and more painful.
Wow.
As we've learned to use research and science and look, we're actually finding that a lot of what we're doing for healthy, low-risk women actually is putting them at greater risk and making labor harder and more uncomfortable.
I think I remember from the trailer that anyone can watch on your website, let me give that website, orgasmicbirth.com, is that apparently being on your back is a way to have a longer, more painful labor. And they always put you in a wheelchair, put you on a bed on your back.
Yes. And it makes no sense, you know. It absolutely makes no sense. It's the one time, you know, you have a baby, and it usually is quite a number of pounds, you know, 5 to 10 pounds, and it just makes sense to use gravity. But it also is the way that our body works, that when women in labor are left on their own, they feel better upright, and they feel better leaning forward. And when women just lean forward, gravity then can help rotate the baby in the way that it needs to go and help labor go quicker and easier. Warmth and warm water getting into a shower, or a lot of women love being immersed in a tub of water, and it gives them the freedom to move by having dim lights, maybe aromatherapy, really creating kind of the same ambiance that you would want for a very sensuous evening. Mm-hmm. It requires the same hormones that you would release when you're intimate and you feel safe with a partner that you need to release in order to birth your baby. And our film talks a lot about all of this. And I think that most people just don't really have any idea that when they turn their body over to medicine at this time, that they're not always getting what is the easiest and safest approach.
Wow. I saw one couple, she was leaning kind of over one of those bouncy balls, the big ones that they use, yes, for Pilates, and she's kind of pushing on her belly, and her husband's kind of on top of her pushing too, and it looked like they were sort of pushing the baby down.
Yes, and that's, again, that leaning forward position, and we call those, they are the Pilates balls, but we kind of nickname them in labor and birth balls. Uh-huh. And a lot of women find that when they're laboring, either sitting on the ball, leaning on the ball, but a lot of women like to get a rhythm and move, you know. I think of the theory that if you have a ring on your finger and it's tight, you can't get it over your knuckle unless you twist and turn and wiggle it over. Uh-huh. And when you have a big baby inside of you, most women find it's most easy if they get movements and they move their hips. And, you know, belly dancing is wonderful preparation for birth.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that was the way belly dancing started.
Yes.
Those hip movements and the shimmying.
Yeah. And not that you would do those fast shimmies like,
sure,
belly dancers do in labor, but still the idea of just moving the hips and circling your body and helping your baby. We often say, you know, dance your baby out.
Oh.
And that is so nice and can feel really good and really help the baby to find their path.
Right. And what a better way to bring a human being into this world with dancing and cuddles and maybe a hot tub rather than like screaming or hurting, or do you know what I mean? Just with breathing and being in touch with your body and those sensations and letting those sensations guide you to bring your baby into this world.
Yes, and I think that's what they were meant to do. I mean, we were meant to tune into the sensations, because when you're in the best position, it feels right. When you're not, your body lets you know it's uncomfortable, it's painful, it doesn't feel right. And we have to really start listening to that, where today in the typical hospital, when you're placed on your back, you're put in so much pain that a lot of women are making very wise choices to have epidurals, but then you no longer can tune into those sensations. And I think that what we're hoping to encourage women to see is it's not about just either being on your back and then getting an epidural, that there's a huge range of things that you can do to find comfort in labor and birth. And a lot of it is just so easy. It doesn't cost anything, where certainly to turn yourself over to the hospital and use all that technology is very cost heavy. We could save our healthcare systems millions of dollars by incorporating a lot of very simple techniques.
If someone says, okay, I want to have a more orgasmic birth, maybe I don't have a hot tub, but what are some of the first steps?
One of the first things I would say is to really choose where and with whom you give birth wisely, because you want to be in a place that you feel very safe, that you feel respected by all the people that you invite to be present, including any providers, that you're a part of the decision-making, so that you really feel that you have a voice in all of that and that you can have moments of privacy when you feel that you need them. Those are some of the key elements of a pleasurable birth. And then add on that, imagine you're planning for a sensuous evening. I really want women to think, where would they be? What would the lights be like? Would there be music? What would it be? What would the smells be? And as much as possible, create that kind of ambiance in your birth environment. So really do bring the smells with you. You know, think about the lighting. Even in a hospital, sometimes we bring electric candles, and there's so many little things you can do to change the room to have a totally different feel. And then think about who's with you, from the kind of loving touch from a partner or a friend or a mother, sister, or if you don't have someone that you feel can give you all of that, and even if you do, it sometimes can be really helpful to have a doula with you, a woman who's specifically trained in providing emotional support and physical comfort to women and their partners in labor and birth.
Something that I heard, and I can't remember if I found it on your website or not, was that if a woman uses a Hitachi magic wand, for instance, for genital or clitoral stimulation during childbirth, she reduces the risk of tearing while the baby is crowning by 100%.
And that might have been a story that someone wrote that might be on our website. It's not specific information kind of we put up. And so that I'm really not sure. I've never really validated that. Mm-hmm. But it is some of the stories that we're hearing from women who are writing to us and saying, this is what I did, and it was awesome.
Mm. Apparently, what any kind of stimulation does, you know, pleasurable stimulation during childbirth, is it engorges the tissues with blood and helps protect the tissues from stretching or tearing.
Yeah. And again, that was certain people's opinions. And, you know, they've written stories on our site. It's not something that we specifically go into in our film. We're just currently sharing on our website a lot of different women's birth stories that have had these experiences. But it does sound like it makes sense. I mean, the body was certainly made to stretch there, and women can do this. I mean, I've always been shocked for years on why people thought we needed to give women episiotomies and that their body wasn't made to stretch. And I tell this story, and we're currently writing a book, and I'm putting my story in the book that, I mean, years ago when I had my first son, I remember saying to my doctor, when they thought they needed to do episiotomies at that time as pretty standard, I thought, you know, men never think twice about their ability to have their penis grow and stretch and become all different sizes without certainly having any additional aids. And I didn't understand why they felt that women's bodies didn't have the same ability. And so we have that elasticity, and I agree with you. I think that when women are in a sensuous sexual state, that even allows us to open even more.
Now, how did you discover this? How did you make the transition from what they teach childbirth should be like and that childbirth could be a pleasurable experience?
In two different ways. I've been a childbirth educator and a doula for many years. And as a childbirth educator and kind of learning and reading, I had read a lot of work by Ida Mae Gaskin and Elizabeth Davis, famous midwives who both have for long shared about the sexuality of birth and talked about orgasmic birth. And then I began even attending births and seeing that for some women, they were having these blissful, ecstatic, and a few of them orgasmic experiences. And as I explored that too, I have to say in my own journey with birth that my third birth, which I was upright the whole time, it was the first birth I really could move and listen to my body, I really found incredibly pleasurable and would call it orgasmic, not in the literal sense of having an orgasm at the moment, but in the sense of just feeling pleasure and that kind of orgasmic release that after the baby was born, just feeling like, wow, there aren't even words to explain how incredible that was.
Right. And you're flooded with all that oxytocin and all those pleasure chemicals.
Oh, it's just incredible. It's just so whoa, you know. And when you're with women that have these experiences in birth, it really does make you question what the media has been saying of just birth being, you know, terrible and fearful and painful. And so that brought me to want to make a film and really say, at least know your options. Because if you don't know this exists, then you may make different choices. But knowing what's possible in birth, I hope this opens people's eyes up to maybe experience something that you don't otherwise get to experience in childbirth.
Yeah. We're talking today with Deborah Pascali-Bonaro. She's the director and producer of a film, Orgasmic Birth. Instead of having a painful childbirth, you could have an orgasm during childbirth. So one of the things that I wanted to ask you was the biochemical elements of childbirth and the biochemical elements of orgasm. How could they be happening at the same time?
Oh, they're very, very similar, because certainly we know that when women are intimate and sexual, their oxytocin level goes up, and orgasm is this peak oxytocin rush that's happening. And in order to be in labor, it is oxytocin that must build to create those different surges and sensations. And some people would call it contractions, but others don't, because they don't feel like they're contracting, they're expanding. And there are many different words, but oxytocin is the same hormone that's driving this. And so it is very, very possible when you follow the hormones to, at the moment that the mother starts pushing the baby out, she gets a rush of adrenaline. And adrenaline and noradrenaline are also present when women have orgasms. So we're looking at the same, I kind of call it hormonal soup, that's building through labor, that's also building when women are intimate.
I really want to encourage people to check out the trailer on your website. It's orgasmicbirth.com. And there's this woman in a hot tub, and she's clearly pregnant, clearly in labor. And you just see her smiling just so beautifully, and just her eyes rolling back in her head like, whoa, you know what I mean? Like, you see it and you really start to believe that, wow, this is a pathway for a life that it seems so much better than, you know, being born through so much pain.
I agree. And, you know, we're only beginning to understand all the different ways that labor and birth affects babies. And I think when we recognize that babies are certainly having an experience and participating in this process, how great for a baby to be born to a mother who's feeling such joy. And, you know, people sometimes interpret that wrong, like, will the baby kind of be hung up because they participated in a sexual act? And
the baby will be a pervert.
Right. And I say, come on, because think about it. Would you rather that your baby came into the world and just knew that this was a terrible pain for you, and this was horrible, and you, you know, for the rest of your life, tell this story of birth as a terrible experience? No, it's really not about having a sexual experience with the baby. It's really, I'd rather even just say, it's more about feeling the birth as pleasurable, as positive, as really intimate. And you want to start with an intimate experience with your baby and have those first moments of absolute bliss as you fall in love with them. But it's definitely not in the kind of way that you would say to your baby's your lover. It's just in a beautiful way of feeling your own power and bringing yourself into a transition from a woman to a mother in a way that fully honors who you are.
That sounds really good. I'm concerned that some people might feel like, okay, I'm supposed to have an orgasm. I'm supposed to be multiply orgasmic. Now I'm supposed to have the ability to do female ejaculation. Okay, and now I have to have an orgasm during childbirth and just feel like it's a lot to live up to.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I'd be devastated if people came away from watching our film with that opinion. And I have to say, anybody that's seen the film doesn't have that, because they realize we show many, many different possibilities, and our orgasmic birth is just one of them. So I really do want to hold out to women that it's not about saying this is something you have to achieve. It's about just knowing it is a possibility. There are definitely things you can do to encourage your birth to be more pleasurable. But I would like women to go into it not saying that they have to have an orgasm, but just really creating the ambiance, the environment, the options, the safety that would allow them to have a positive birth. And if that brings pleasure, that's an added bonus.
It was almost, I think someone used the term, you don't know what's going to happen during your birth, and it could be almost as if it was a shamanic journey?
It really is. I think for a lot of women, and particularly a lot of the stories that we're getting from people writing in or from seeing the film, is that they're really, when you can experience birth in the fullest and you allow yourself to feel all this, a lot of women come away feeling transformed, feeling an inner power. There's one woman in our film, Trisha. I mean, a lot of people get quite emotional because at the end she talks about how proud she is of herself. And another woman in the film, Helen, is a survivor of sexual abuse as a young girl. And she tells a very poignant story. And we know that for many women, their sexuality can be laden with difficult situations in a history. And preparing in pregnancy for birth is important to look at these issues and find ways to birth, particularly for survivors, that feel very safe and respected and with very clear parameters with their providers being aware of their history. And with all this, it's a real opportunity for transformation. And Helen's story in our film really takes you there, and you can feel how this experience was very healing for her. And we're getting many survivors that are writing in and saying that being able to experience birth in this way and to experience the pleasure of birth, one woman wrote, healed more than years of therapy and brought her back to the joy in her body for the first time.
That's wonderful. Wow.
Yeah. I'm glad you let me tell that story, because I would certainly not want women that are survivors to think, oh, this is terrible, to think of birth in a sexual way when your sexuality has not been honored and respected properly. Mm-hmm. And contrary, we really thought about that a lot in making the film and hope that it opens up more opportunities for women in whatever their relationship is to their sexuality to explore birth in new ways.
So for anyone who might be listening who's always thought of pregnancy and childbirth as horrible and painful, what are some of the first steps towards experiencing an orgasmic birth?
First steps, I think, are just really discussing it with your partner, really exploring it in yourself. And if at first you're having barriers to the thought of a pleasurable, positive birth, I would really encourage you to investigate why. You know, we've been told so much over the years, from what we might have heard when we were young children about birth to the current media and the way it portrays it. And sometimes it's really hard to undo those patterns. But I would encourage people to do that, to do reading, I hope see our film, but, you know, to take a good childbirth education class, to reach out and find the classes that talk about the sexuality of birth and pleasurable birth, but also learning all your options. One of my mentors has always said, and I really value it, if you don't know your options, you don't have any. And I think that today, too many people are kind of just taking the word from one or two people they may run into or their provider. And I hope that you'll really search far and wide and find what is the way that seems best for you to give birth, because each woman has that intuition on what will be best for her, and I encourage you to follow it.
So one of the moments that made me laugh in the trailer. A woman was talking about her experience of childbirth and a disagreement she'd had with her husband. He's like, why on earth would you say no to Western medicine and not have an epidural? He likened not using anesthetic to basically choosing to hit yourself in the head with a hammer. And so he's like, I don't want you to suffer. I don't want you to do this whole orgasmic birth thing because I'm worried for you. I want you to say yes to anesthetic. And she's like, no, that's not what I want. And, you know, they had this real disagreement about it. Tell me more about that story, that couple's story.
You know, it's really interesting because I think for men and for this man, seeing your partner, the person that you love, going through the intensity, and yes, there can be moments of pain and just incredible sensations and feelings, I think can be really hard, you know? And so sometimes, in this case, like, it was the partner who was, let's get the epidural, because that would make him feel more comfortable. And in a good way, it was because he really cares. I'm not saying that in a bad way. He really did. He wants to help her, and his way of helping is to kind of take this sensation away. And for them, that worked for them, you know? And I think that's where each person in each couple needs to really explore what does it mean, you know? Epidurals certainly have a time and place. But I think what they weren't expecting that became difficult is sometimes with the epidural, because you don't have the sensation and you're not using gravity anymore, you're confined to bed more, in many cases on your back, it becomes difficult to get the baby out. And so they needed to go on and to have what we call an assisted birth, meaning using vacuum. And that can be a little bit of difficulty and trauma as well, which for them, they had a healthy baby and they're really happy that the medical system was able to help them at that point to have a healthy baby. But I know in talking to them after, it makes them question that they didn't really understand from the beginning how the choice to have an epidural could actually domino to other things. And that's difficult. You know, those are some of the things I think people need to explore and understand what that ripple effect can be, how one choice can open up the need possibly for other interventions.
In this particular pregnancy that was in the documentary, they did have the epidural, or that was a previous pregnancy?
When you watch our film, the couple did choose to have an epidural. And, you know, one of her concerns early on in pregnancy was just so many of her friends had had cesarean births that she wanted to do everything and make sure she didn't have a cesarean. And so in that sense, she still feels really positive about her birth because she didn't have a cesarean. But in hindsight, one of the things she said after seeing the film was she wished she had seen the film before because she might have made other choices. She wasn't as fully informed, maybe, as she thought, into lots of different ways that she could have worked with and found comfort other than just consenting to the epidural.
And the husband admits that he was wrong, that he wished he hadn't recommended the epidural so strongly.
Right. And these are the things, you know, again, epidurals are just such an entrenched part of our hospital system. I mean, I've been with women in hospitals as a doula where people aren't even asking, do you want an epidural? The question when you enter is, when do you want it?
Whoa.
And what's quite sad about that is that when you're in labor and the people that you have the most trust in, who you think know everything about birth, are just assuming you're going to need it, it's very hard to have confidence that you can do it without. It's kind of self-fulfilling. And that's where I wish we could change our hospital systems and really get all our staff trained in, you know, massage and touch and acupressure and having doulas present and water and warm and cold compresses. There are just so many things that can be done that take the sensations away from pain to really manageable. And just like an athlete, there are going to be moments of intensity, but we don't start yelling to our athletes when they're reaching a moment that could be challenging, let's give you drugs.
Right. I read a study somewhere, it was a pain study, they said that they were going to administer electric shocks. And they hooked the participants up, and they went bzzz, And 50%, even though they didn't administer any shock, they just said that they were going to. 50% of the people who said that, who believed that they were going to experience pain, experienced pain.
Yeah.
So if you believe,
I'm so glad you say that, because that's where I think our whole society has set women up to believe that this is the most painful experience of your life. And I agree with you. If you go in with that, it's not surprising that's what you experience.
Right.
But wouldn't it be great if we can shift that paradigm and women can go in with a whole lot of different tools to manage the sensations in a way and to begin to believe that they can experience this in a positive, pleasurable way? And if they get the bonus orgasmic birth, how incredible is that?
Oh, let's do it. Let's do it, Deborah. Spread the word. I'm
in. I agree.
Let's do it.
Elizabeth Davis, one of the midwives in our film, just, and you'll see it on the trailer, she says, you know, if someone could give you the map to have the most incredible emotional, physical, spiritual high of your life, would you really say no? And that's what we're opening up and holding out and saying, at least look at this and then make your decision. But there's so many things you can do to make the odds so much more in your favor that this can happen for you.
And have a pleasurable birth instead of a painful birth.
Yep.
Amazing. Deborah Pascali Bonaro, she's the director and producer of a film, Orgasmic Birth. You can watch the trailer, and I'd really recommend it, orgasmicbirth.com. Deborah, I really appreciate you coming on the show today.
Oh, thanks so much, Monica. It was really a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you to everyone that's listening.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited to share this with everyone just so they have the possibility of more pleasure during this incredibly special moment.
Yes, it really is. It's a moment like none other, and it's a day that a woman will never forget. So she certainly deserves to do it in a way that just gives her this incredible, transformative high.
Seems like a pretty good way to welcome human beings to planet Earth. If you're thinking about having a baby, something you might want to look into. You can find more about Deborah Pascali Bonaro at orgasmicbirth.com. And thanks for listening to Sexploration with Monica.